Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. After a petition was signed by nearly 850,000 Floridians, the decision of whether or not voting rights will be restored to former felons in the state is now in the hands of the people. It comes in the form of Amendment 4 on the upcoming November ballot. The amendment needs 60% of the vote to become law, but that might not be a problem, according to a new bipartisan poll that shows nearly three-quarters of voters support it. Estimates say if passed, it could restore rights to nearly 1.5 million ex-felons. 100,000 people had their rights restored under Governor Charlie Crist, but automatic restoration ended soon after Governor Rick Scott took office. And that's just scratching the surface of the uphill battle to this point, as our guest with the rest of this hour can surely speak to. We're joined now by Neil Voles. He's the political director of the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. Hi, Neil. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Julie. Thanks for having us.
We're talking about Amendment 4 on the upcoming November ballot. Does the disenfranchisement of former felons affect you or someone that you know personally? Well, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So, Neil, what is the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition?
Well, the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition is a membership organization made up of returning citizens, people who are formerly convicted, that helps advance issues that are important to people who have felony convictions in their past but are taking a step forward, embracing their communities and moving forward in their lives.
And so Amendment 4 is a big deal.
Amendment 4 is a really big deal.
Is this the main thing that you've been fighting for? Once this passes, does this mean that you don't have any more work to do?
No, that's not the case. There are, according to the Sentencing Project, about 1.68 million people in the state of Florida who have a felony conviction. And that impacts a lot of different areas of your life. So that
not impacts, just voting.
No, that's exactly right.
Right.
So that impacts things like housing and employment and how well you can interact with community and things like that. So there's a lot of things that we get together and talk about and engage and work to try and make things better.
Kind of help with the challenges that people face after they've served their time.
Amen.
So how long has the FRCC been working on this particular project with the Amendment 4?
Well, gosh, for years. I mean, this has started out of a belief in two things. One, that when a debt is paid, it's paid. That's a universal value that we see reflected in people from all walks of life, from all over the state. And we see it reflected in the fact that over a million people signed petitions, to embrace that value. It also is built around a belief that those people who are closest to the pain sometimes are the ones who have the best solutions and can help us move forward in those specific areas.
How do you personally get involved in this?
Well, I got a felony conviction almost 12 years ago, and I was having some professional success, and I made some stupid decisions, crossed some lines I shouldn't have crossed, and so that's ultimately how I got involved. I moved to Florida, originally from Ohio, like a lot of people from
everybody's
our region.
From Ohio.
Yeah, so moved to Florida wanting to start over, and the more that I got involved, I realized that the system isn't working as well as it could. Florida's only one of four states that permanently disenfranchises people from embracing their community fully in this way and restoring the eligibility to vote. And we're just trying to do things, to take steps that states around us like Texas and South Carolina and Georgia have already done.
Mm-hmm. The results of the poll that we talked about at the beginning of this part of the show say that 74% of voters support Amendment 4. And this is a poll that was released just this week, and it is bipartisan. And it breaks down to 61% of Republicans, 78% of independents, and 88% of Democrats. Does that surprise you, or is that in line with what the FRCC kind of anticipated?
Yeah, I mean, that does not surprise me. As somebody who has spent years talking to people, in coffee shops, at churches and small businesses, and then collecting petitions all over the state, I mean, literally from the Panhandle down to Key West and everywhere in between, when you get a chance to talk to somebody and you really get this kind of connect with them at their core, deep down, we all believe in second chances. We all have benefited from being forgiven for something and have seen the process of growth that can happen when you grow forward. And so that's what we're seeing here. And people believe in second chances and this idea that just on a very basic level, when your debt's paid, it's paid.
Have you seen that level of support kind of change over time? You said you've been doing this for years. Do you see that there's a little bit more growing support, or has it kind of always been the same and just never really gotten anywhere legislatively?
Well, what's been a whole lot of fun is really watching this movement grow, because it started just, you know, on a very basic level in communities all across Florida, where we had people who were making copies of petitions and getting them signed. And that was everybody. That was people from all walks of life. And this really wasn't, you know, there weren't as many news stories and things about it. But you saw people grasping it, because there are millions of folks who are directly impacted and their family members. So they get an understanding of, you know, hey, why is Florida such an outlier in terms of how this whole process works? Other states don't do it that way. Maybe there's something we can learn there. And it just kept moving forward. And so it's after we got our first 80,000 petitions. So you got 80,000 petitions. That took us to the Supreme Court. And that is when the Supreme Court said, this is a constitutional process. The wording of the amendment is right. And you can move forward. That this really, we started to see it in a whole different way. People from all over the state really got involved. And you begin to see, you know, better understanding with kind of public polling and things like that. And so that these numbers pretty much reflect what we've seen all along.
As far as public understanding, Amendment 4 is going to restore voting rights specifically to nonviolent felons. So is that enough for your organization?
So the way that the amendment is written up is there's an exclusion for murderers and people who have violent sexual felonies. And we did that. A lot of this was we've been walking with the people. You know, this is a process that's built around people and people's lives. And so we've been very much connected to the people. And this is what the people of Florida said they wanted.
Well,
and so
compromise? I think I've heard that word.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those things where it's like we believe this helps to break – helps to fix a broken system. Mm-hmm. And allows us to move forward in a healthy way that that will lead to safer communities, stronger families, and things that we can all unite behind.
Do you feel like the levels of support we were talking about a minute ago, do you think that would be different if it didn't include those kinds of provisions with the excluding the possibility of this with murderers
you
and
know,
people with...
I think when you take out the exclusions, people move in a variety of different ways. So I think it would have an impact.
Yeah. As it stands now, the state's clemency process leaves it up to the governor and the cabinet of three elected members to decide whether or not to restore voting rights. But the governor can veto any request. How many former felons have had their rights restored in this way? Do you know?
Well, so what has happened if you take a look at the last three governors, right? So, and this is not a partisan issue. We're talking about three Republican governors. You saw three different processes at play in which Jeb Bush, you know, there were about 75,000 people who were formerly convicted, returning citizens who had their ability to vote restored. And then you saw an uptick with Governor Crist. And then with Governor Scott, you've seen a decision made in which, you know, a lot less, in which just a couple thousand people over 8-year period have had that process take place. And I think what that speaks very loudly to is just some common sense, you know, a belief that people have, which is we don't think that something as sacred as your voice, as your ability to interact with your community, as your vote, should really be at the whims of any election cycles, any elected officials, that this is something that there can be a better process.
Is this why it went to a Constitutional Revision Commission for an amendment?
Well, it didn't go. This went through the people, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, this was an expression of the public.
Oh, okay.
And that's how we got on the ballot was, you know, over a million people signed petitions and brought it directly to the ballot.
Oh, okay. So because of that, is that why you wanted to go that direction, though, instead of just kind of leaving it up as a something that can go from governor to governor and just always change?
Yeah, that was one of the reasons.
Yeah. In last year's lawsuit against the Clemency Board, a lawyer representing the former felon said some of her clients had been denied by the governor for incidences as small as traffic violations or admitting that they drank. Is that the standard outside of Florida with other similar clemency boards? I mean, is it just so much more strict here in Florida?
Well, what we have here is a very subjective process.
Okay.
And so that is one of the problems. And that is also creates this cumbersome process, this kind of burdensome process that, you know, in it says it could take 5 to 7 years before you can even apply. And then sometimes it can take 10 to 15 to 20 years. And so what we've seen is, I mean, a friend of mine he's a veteran who, you know, finished serving our country, came back to Florida, wrote a bad check, and 30 years later still couldn't kind of work through that subjective bureaucracy to ultimately get the ability back to vote.
And writing a bad check can be a felony?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what you have in Florida ultimately, and the reason you get these high numbers of kind of 1.68 million people and why so many families are impacted is that there's a lot of things in Florida that are felonies that aren't felonies in other states. Things like driving with a suspended license, walking in a construction site. You can release helium balloons on the beach, you know, over 10 balloons in Florida, and that can be a felony. So combine that with the fact that there is not this process to allow people to earn back the ability to and eligibility to vote, you end up with 1.5 million people and families who are impacted, which then leads to a movement of people who are trying to say, hey, we want some common sense back in this process, and we believe that universal values that we all share are being, you know, violated here. And so let's step up and move this process forward. It's been a really cool unifying kind of mm-hmm. movement that we're really focused more on kind of what unifies us than not. This is a, you know, we have people from all walks of life all over the state who are just embracing this, and it's been a real fun process to engage.
And the vote is then this November?
Yes, it is, Julie.
And it's Amendment 4?
It's Amendment 4.
Okay, and there's no tricky wording. It's either voting for it.
That's right.
Or against it.
Yeah, this is straight up.
All right. Because sometimes that happens with some of those amendments.
No, sure. I understand.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my guest, Neil Volz. He's the political director of the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. Thanks so much for coming in and explaining it to us.
We sure appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And thanks to my earlier guests during our segments on industrial hemp, Dr. Robert Gilbert from the University of Florida's Agronomy Department and Bob Clayton, founder of Florida Hemp Processing. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and Rachel Iacovone. Our director is Richard Chin Kui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.